Just a little bit about myself. My name is Ash. It rhymes with rash, so if you have one, we'll pray for you later. And I'm married to one wife, which is always a good thing, because in Africa you can have many wives, but it's not biblical. One wife, I have one son, Elijah Joshua, and we have one dog, and we stay in one house, and we serve one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we just love what God is doing in us and with us and through us. My wife texted me to say, hey, send love, send greetings. And she said, pray for our marriage, because the reason why she says pray for our marriage, I support Man United. And she supports Liverpool. And today she was so happy when Man United beat Man City. So if you didn't know, now you know. So she was so glad, and she's like, this is the only time I'm supporting your team. So yeah. But let me pray, and then we're going to get into the word. So Lord, I just thank you for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, that, man, your presence is so rich in this atmosphere. Ask, Lord, that I'll just submit to what you want to do. That your spirit is here, and it's like a river, that we just got to follow the leading and the prompting. And I just ask you, God, that we will go where you want us to go. And I thank you, Lord, man, that you're just going to show up as there's so much hunger in the room. Hunger for you, God, for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So what I'm going to speak about, and if those that are note takers, hey, well done to you. It's just so simple, hunger for God. Hunger for God. And I'm going to get real and quite open and quite raw with you, because what I'm going to share about is how in 30 seconds, how God transformed my life, breaking off an addiction and an affliction so that I no longer live a life of restriction of 6 years addicted to drugs. I'm going to basically just try and articulate how I experienced the God encounter as best as I can in the words and the vocabulary that I have. And I'm just going to unpack how God set me free in a moment. What psychologists and psychiatrists said will take years, it took 30 seconds in God's presence. 30 seconds of God just doing it. 6 years of addiction broken. Suicidal thoughts broken off. Fear broken off. Insecurity broken off. Walking in identity, knowing my destiny, called to change all of history, brought on upon me in those 30 seconds. So I'm going to unpack that as best as I can. So I'll do a bit of teaching and then preaching. Because teachers tell it, then preachers yell it. Okay, that's me. But I'm going to start off just with basic 101, some aspects around just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I've always battled with this concept. I've always battled with understanding the beauty of the Trinity operating in unity for all of divinity. And I've always battled with the concept, but let me give a bit of a science lesson. The essence of ice is H2O. The essence of water is H2O. The essence of steam, H2O. Okay. The essence of the Heavenly Father, God. Essence of Jesus the Son, God. The essence of Holy Spirit, God. That's just the simplicity of understanding the divinity of the Trinity operating unity. It is God. And I'm just laying that up because we're going to go for waves of breakthrough tonight. You're going to hear from someone that used to feed his habit by being a dope dealer, but tonight I'm your hope dealer. And you don't have to pay a cent. Because freely I've received, freely I'll give. And we're going to go through an interesting portion of scripture, and I might just pause here and there. And we're going to go through and look at Moses' moment of him having this intercession with God, him speaking with the Lord. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 13 to 23. If you didn't read your Bible the whole week, thank me later, okay? We're going to look at 10 verses right now. We'll maybe take it from verse 12, Exodus chapter 33. It says this, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I have found favor in your sight. Please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider that to that, ooh, anguish. Consider too that this nation is your people. Then verse 14, it's such a profound moment. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Let me pause there quickly. If you are restless, you need his presence. His presence will give you rest. But I love it in Psalm 16 verse 11. It gives us some extra sugar and spice and all things nice. It tells us this, that he says in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And in it, there are pleasures evermore. Don't you want fullness of joy? Don't you want the joy of your salvation? Don't you want the joy of the Lord to be your strength? And when you got joy, a great acronym of joy is Jesus over you. Woo! Verse 15 then says, and he said to him, if your presence, this is Moses responding, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Verse 16, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Then verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Oh, let me hold up there for a moment. God knows you by your name. He knows you by your name. In Isaiah, it even unpacks it a bit more, that while you were in the matrix of your mother's womb, matrix basically meaning while you are still just two cells. You remember those days when you're just two tiny bubbles? No, I'm just joking. But you're just two cells and you're a matrix in your mother's womb. The Bible says that God calls you and then he calls you by your name. Because if you know your calling, you'll battle to be found falling and you'll battle to even find yourself falling. And God calls you by your name while you're in the matrix of your mother's womb. I love it that in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it says, before he even formed you, he knew you and he sanctified you and called you. So before your mother laid eyes on your father or your father laid eyes on your mother, God already laid eyes on you. Mm-hmm. So good. Anyway, verse 18, now it gets interesting. Moses said, please show me your glory. Whew. I'll unpack that in a moment. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and you will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where I shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. In verse 23, the last verse, then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Ooh. See, hunger is a crazy thing, by the way. Hungering for God is a wild thing. It's a wild concept. Because Moses is having a conversation with God. He's in his presence. He's speaking to him as a friend speaks to another friend. He's having this conversation, but he says, Lord, I want more. Show me your glory. You know, it's interesting. Hunger will get you to do what you don't usually do to get what you don't usually get. I know when it's 2 a.m. in the morning, and my stomach does that nice thing, being hungry. And then if you're really hungry for a long time, you become hangry. It's a real thing. And 2 a.m. in the morning, even if it's cold, I'm getting out of bed. I'm going to open up the fridge. I'm going to cook up and whip up whatever there is. I'll maybe take some scrambled eggs, some leftovers, whatever. And before you know it, I've got breakfast, meeting supper. I don't know what that means, but it's 2 a.m. in the morning and I'm hungry. It's amazing you'll do what you don't usually do to fulfill what you don't usually need to get filled. But here's the thing about physical hunger and spiritual hunger. Physically hungry, we eat, we get full. Later on, we'll get hungry again. We eat, we get full. We get hungry again. Here's the thing about spiritual hunger. You eat, you want more. You eat, You want more. Because here's the difference. Because spiritual hunger is the more you get to know God, the bigger He keeps on getting. Woo! The more you get to know Him, the grander He keeps on getting. And Moses understood this. I'm in His presence having a face-to-face conversation. And he says, Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your beauty, Your splendor. Show me how majestic You are. Show me how Your brilliance is. Show me the very thing that causes angels to bow down day and night, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one and who is and who is to come. He says, I don't want to just have a conversation. No, I need to have a conviction of transformation, and that's only in Your glory. Because in His glory, He'll turn a murderer into a minister. He'll turn a prostitute to a prophetess. And He took me as a dope dealer to a hope dealer. He can transform in a moment. In His glory, it will change all of your stories. You know, it is wild. Some of us settle for His presence because all that we know, if we follow His presence, it gets us to the promise and we never become transformed. But God wasn't concerned about the Israelites, by the way, just getting to the promised land. He needed to get slave mentality out of them. He needed to get something out of them. He needed to break something off them. And sometimes we can just follow the presence of God, follow the word of God, and we go, that's enough. I follow the cloud by day, the fire by night. It's fine as long as I get to the promise. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is I need to experience heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's more in God. There's another level. There's always more. Why do you think He even says we move from one degree of glory to another? There's always more in God. What you, by the way, experienced even right now in worship, that is a glimpse of a glimpse of a glimpse of a glimpse, a tip of the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg of what heaven is experienced consistently. Yeah. Don't settle. Don't get comfortable. I've seen God do mighty things. I cannot turn back, and I'm going to be fighting tears through this message. I've seen God melt metal in people's bones and it suddenly gets healed. I've seen cancer leave bodies. I've seen people that everybody ignored because they're so demonically oppressed and possessed. They ignore them, get saved, healed, and delivered. I've seen people go through 5, 6, 7 divorces, get restored and get wrecked and renewed and revived at the same time. And God puts them back together better than what they were before. And you know what? We got a lot of painful people and people that's carrying a lot of pain in Johannesburg, but I sense it here in the city, and I even sense it in the room right now. And you know what's wild? Those same people that are beat up, torn up from the floor up, messed up from the chest up, often need a checkup from the neck up. People don't judge their praise because God has healed them from deep pain. Never judge someone's praise. You don't know where God took them from. I've seen people that came out of human trafficking. Now they're standing up and being on the front line of human rights. I've seen what the glory of God can do. Man can try for so many years. God just needs a few seconds of hungry people. And I sense there's some hungry people in the room tonight that saying, Lord, I'm going to go for it. The best way I can articulate this is understanding the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to just give a brief awareness of who the Father is, because I know for me, I battled with insecurity. Even tonight, I had some of the wrong words of the father of lies creeping up tonight. And the father of lies saying, look, you came from a place that had the highest percentage of gangsterism in South Africa. That's where you came from. You came from a place that people died or went to prison. You came from a place that if you saw your 21st birthday, it was a celebration. A massive celebration, because not many people made it to the age 21 of the neighborhood I grew up in.
That's where I grew up. And the father of lies is creeping in. But I thanks be to God that his word crept in even harder. And the words of the heavenly father that was spoken to Jesus just crept into my heart this evening. Just once again, just to put to rest that insecurity, to walk in my identity. In Matthew 3 verse 17, when Jesus came out of the waters, man, and he got baptized. Imagine if you're baptizing Jesus, what do you say? In the name of your daddy, yourself, and your best friend. The Bible then says the heavens opened up. Heavens opened up. What I find so interesting, it never said that the heavens closed again. And then the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I don't know if God's voice really sounds like that. Sorry. It's just how I read my Bible. But I had to remind myself, Daddy God loves me and he's pleased with me. Daddy God loves me and he's pleased with me. So before you do anything, Daddy God loves you and he's pleased with you. Before you step into that school, Daddy God loves you and he's pleased with you. Before you step into that boardroom, Daddy God loves you and he's pleased with you. Before you step into your house that maybe seems like it's all like all hell is breaking loose, Daddy God loves you and he's pleased with you. No matter the situation, have an awareness of the Father. Have an awareness of the Father. He never leaves and he never forsakes and he will always undertake. Here's some things about the awareness of the Father, just a brief awareness of the Father. Our Father is all-knowing, all-powerful. He's the creator of creation. He's eternal. He is ever-present help and an ever-present help in time of need. He is faithful. I love this. He's the father to the fatherless and the protector of the widows. He is good. He's the giver of perfect gifts. He is full of grace. He is holy, infinite, jealous, just, kind, merciful, never lies, as patient, sovereign, and unconditionally loving. Woo! Can you just thank the Father, just who he is for a moment? Can we just have an awareness of who the Father is for a moment? His love is here. His unconditional love is here. Have an awareness of who the Father is. Man, he's kind. He's patient with us. I'm glad he's patient. I'm glad he's sovereign. Nothing is out of his control. He's got a righteous right hand. He's a God that is more than able. He can pick you up from the guttermost and place you up in the uttermost in a moment. He is more than capable to do what you ever think, even ask, or even imagine. And guess what? He will do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond and more than whatever you can think, ask, and even imagine. He's a father that loves you. He's a father that will walk through with you through whatever you are going through to get you to what you need to get to. And he will secure your identity as a child of the Most High God. You are the head and not the tail, by the way. Sometimes we want to always play and be the tail. No, you're the head. You are his royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. Don't die being a cheap copy of another original. That's deep. Don't die being a cheap copy of another original. Be the unique you God has called you to be. As a child of the Most High God. Nobody else got a fingerprint like you. Nobody else has got the face and the design like you. Nobody else has got anything but you got. And God is so concerned about you. The Father's so concerned about you that even the hairs on your head are numbered. That's insane to think about. So when I was combing my hair and my brush got stuck in my one gray hair that I pulled out, God knows that's maybe hair number 10,323. That's how much he's concerned about you. Whew. I feel that was just freedom for somebody right now. Here's the next thing. Awakened by Jesus. Awakened by Jesus. For Moses to see the Father, he had to be in the cleft of a rock. It was a type and shadow. Because Jesus is the rock of ages. Back at my church, we got some people that are into heavy metal. When I always say rock of ages, they go, rock on. And the way that we see the Father is only through Jesus. John 14 verse 6 says it so clearly. That Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there comes this awakening of who Jesus is. And when you get awakened by Jesus, ooh, there's an awakening and there's a shaking at the same time. Just a little bit about who Jesus is. He's the Alpha and Omega, the author and perfecter of our faith. He was the one that holds all authority. He's the bread of life. He's the beloved Son of God. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the deliverer. He's the good shepherd. He's the great high priest. He's the head of the church. He's Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He's the indescribable gift. He's the King of kings, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the mediator and intercessor, the one who sets free, our hope, Prince of peace, resurrection and life, the supreme creator over all, the word and victorious one. That's just a glimpse of who Jesus is. Be awakened by Jesus. Be awakened by him. You see, I had to come to the realization and the revelation of who Jesus is. Because that's the one who sets you free. That's the one that gives you hope when you're battling to cope. That's the one that can intervene. That's the one that has already intersected at the cross of Calvary. That became sin, that became shame, that became sickness, that became all the blame, and he took it upon himself so that therefore now there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He set the captives free for you and for me, and he said, it is finished, it is done. Let me give you something, because I feel like you'll need it just to push a bit more. He's known as the Lion of Judah. Lion of the tribe of Judah. National Geographic speaks about the lions quite often. And the lion is not the biggest animal, but it's the king of the jungle. And they say this, that a lion's roar is averaged around, at when it blasts quite a loud roar, it's between 120 and 130 decibels. Sometimes it exceeds that. The loudest rock concerts or concerts recorded is between 110 and 120 decibels. They said a lion roars louder than what our sound systems can produce. But here's the interesting thing that they said, when a lion roars, they said even though an elephant can be charging, when a lion roars, the elephant freezes and flees. Whew. Freezes and flees. I love it that they said that the lion doesn't need to fight. It just needs to roar. And when it roars, the enemy freezes and flees. Jesus is known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. Whew. What happens when you let loose the name of Jesus? You let loose the Lion of Judah. You let loose Jesus' name. And when you begin to roar, you allow Jesus to intervene and allow the enemy just an opportunity to freeze and say, yes, check you later, and allow him to flee all at the same time. Because here's the reality. Greater is he that is in me, Jesus, than anything that's in the world. Do you have something that needs to freeze and flee right now? Oh, let's push. Are you ready? Okay, you'll seem a bit warmed up. Let's change the atmosphere. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. And sometimes it's good to have some sort of an enemy. I'm not saying now go look for an enemy. And if you're sitting next to your enemy, don't look at them right now. And if they're in the row, just ignore them and go with this flow, okay? Because in the presence of your enemies, God will lay up a table. But here's the thing. Are you allowing him to lay up the table? And sometimes you just need to just take authority in the name of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to one name. And whatever you feel that you just know, that you just need to let the enemy freeze and flee, we're going to do it right now. And what we're going to do is so simple. We're just going to shout Jesus. We're just going to shout Jesus. That's all. Shout Jesus and then clap. Are you ready? Ooh. Some people got a lot of enemies. You're not even waiting for me to go to three. You're like, just say it. Say it. me back and I'll say it. Are we ready? You're going to let the line of Judah rule. By the way, I like that song. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. We're going to let him roar through you. Here we go. One. Warm those vocal cords. Two. Just excuse your neighbor for a moment. Let's get some wiggle room. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready? Ooh, there's an anticipation of breakthrough in this house right now. 2.5. Here we go. 3. Jesus! Yeah! Hallelujah! Jesus! 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 Yeah! See, when the Lion of Judah gets authority over a space, it's interesting. Lion of Judah. Judah means praise, but it also means taking territory of a land. Because that's the name of a territory that David looked after. Judah. And sometimes the enemy wants to take territory over your life. Let the lion roar. Let the Lion of Judah out. And I had to realize that. He taken territory in my life because my grandfather was addicted to drugs. Father addicted to drugs. When we trace it back, I realized I was dealing with something that was 10 generations. It stopped with me. My older sister was addicted to drugs. My younger sister, oh, she's on fire for the Messiah. Never ever got high. What can God do through you? What can God do through you? Can we just have some keys or anything, some mood music? Are you ready for the last one? It's anointed by Holy Spirit. You see, the anointing is what breaks yokes, breaks bondages, breaks chains. It makes no sense. Sometimes some of you are heavy laden, heavy burdened. Jesus' yoke is easy, his burden is light. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit can break it off in a moment. Two scriptures quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 to 18 says, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lays over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there's freedom. And we all with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Isn't that so powerful? Acts chapter 10 verse 8 says this, how God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, in a moment of you just being in the presence of God, being anointed by Holy Spirit, and understanding who Holy Spirit is, it can change and rearrange your life in a moment. Having the awareness of the Father, awakened by Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit, the Lord transformed me from the inside out. And I'm believing that there's an encounter in the room right now for you to encounter and be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And as I read this out, I just want you to just be in the posture of receiving. Just palms to heaven is a simple way. And I'm just going to read this out slowly about who the Holy Spirit is. And maybe you need this right now. Now, thanks be to God that he gave us Holy Spirit, who's a promise from Jesus. Holy Spirit is the advocate. He adopts us and seals us so that we no longer live in rejection. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. He's the counselor and comforter. He comes with fruits and he comes with gifts. He convicts and corrects. He's generous and he gives us freedom. He gives liberty. He gives life. The Holy Spirit gives glory to the Father. Holy Spirit guides into goodness, guides into all truth. Holy Spirit knows the mind and the heart of the Father. The Holy Spirit gives power. Holy Spirit renews hearts. In the Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy are found. In the Holy Spirit, it gives the ability to prophesy or speak life. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the presence of the Lord amongst our midst. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Heaven has a home. It's you. Oh, that's a nice way of putting it. Love has a home. It's you. Peace has a home. It's you. Power has a home. It's you. Joy has a home. It's you. Truth has a home. It's you. Freedom has a home. It's you. Just receive, yeah. It's all up to your hunger for Him. Maybe for some of you, you'll need to have an awareness of the Father and allow that rejection to break off, because I know there's no protection from rejection. Allow that love to come in and break off that rejection. Yeah. Self-worth, go. Ooh, there we go. There we go. Self-worth, go. Yeah, that you just feel like, I'm not worthy. I'm unworthy. No, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. It's in the room. Yeah, lean into that. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. Deep intimacy with you, Lord. We need more of you, God. As David even said, anoint our heads with oil so our cups will overflow. This is that moment right now. Allow Him to anoint you. And from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, let Him anoint you. Let Him anoint you. Let Him anoint you. Anoint you for the tasks at hand. Anoint you for the office at hand. Anoint you for the purpose at hand. Anoint you as you hunger for Him. There's so many different things that I just feel God is shifting and shaking right now in the room. There's some purposes that's coming alive. There's some dreams that are coming alive. There's some destinies that are coming alive. There's some things that you even forgotten, God is bringing back to remembrance by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, give it a go again. He's even coming and resurrecting some new things, because He's the resurrection and the life. That purpose is not dead. If you're breathing, there's a purpose. That destiny is not dead. That dream, oh, God's about to resurrect it. Yeah, it's not by chance or second glance that the woman's conference is dream again. Yeah, God is doing it right now in the room. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God is securing that first love for some of you. Some of you have been saved and stuck. Right now, God is unblocking things. He's unblocking things in your heart. He's unblocking things in your life. Some of you are saying, Lord, I'm battling with this addiction way too long. And you're just sensing this warm love of the Father. He's coming. Yeah, He's already forgiven you. He's removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. And He's broken it off. Yeah. He's already forgotten your sin. Stop remembering what God has forgotten. He's conquered at the cross of Calvary. There's freedom here. That addiction can be broken. That addiction can be broken and will be broken right now in the authority in the name of Jesus. There's it. Chains come off. Yeah, chains come off. Yeah, it's being broken. No longer you're going to stay in that cycle. This is the moment of you hungering for His glory. Yes. And it just take 2 more minutes. I just sense healing. Healing oils in the room. Healing oils in the room. I know Pastor Ed prayed for that. Wherever you need healing on your body, just put one hand on your body. Put the other hand up. One hand on your body where you need healing. If it's more than one body part, sorry. Just put it on top of your head or close to wherever. One hand. Yeah, healing oils in the room. Lord, I thank You that Your word never returns back void. I speak Your word that by the stripes of Christ, they are healed. Holy Spirit touch. Ooh, there we go. Pain leave. Every disorder back to order. Every nerve back to working order. Yeah, there we go. Every joint, there we go. Right now, healing oil, touch. Holy Spirit, touch. Yeah, there's it. It's not about achieving, it's receiving. He loves you so much. What you're feeling is real. What you're feeling is real. If you're feeling warmth, you're feeling a tingling, that's what healing feels like. Even if you're just feeling loved, guess what? That's what also healing feels like. Because sometimes we lay hands and we're asking for healing. Sometimes God is saying, no, actually what you need is my love first, and then I'm going to do a mighty work right now. Yeah, yeah. Joints loosen. Ooh, there's it. Yeah. Joints loosen. Nerves healed. Ooh, yeah. There we go. Muscle healed. That bone right now, there's it, yeah, that little fracture. Thank you, Jesus. You said you can make all things new. New organs, new bones, new nerves, new muscles, new joints. Right now, where things have been numb, I don't know who's that for. There's a part of your body that's been numb for way too long. God's even touching that right now. You're getting feeling back even right now. I'm just giving confirmation of what God's doing in the room. There we go. Yeah. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're able to, just check. How's that feeling? Do something. Do a little wiggle. Don't do too much of a jiggle. If you just feel there's already an improvement, just give me a quick wave. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Yeah. Just check. He's got. Bless you. Just check. If you're able to check. I know sometimes you need to go to the doctor. Bless you. Sometimes I know it's something you need to go back and go check properly. Bless you. Bless you. I'm going to encourage you. Go check with a doctor sometime. Fill in the praise report. But by the way, you did not even realize it. There was 8 miracles that broke out in the room right now. 8 miracles that broke out in the room right now. People just sensed a bit of God's healing right now. That's a miracle. Nobody prayed for them. It's them just hungering for God and saying, Holy Spirit, touch me.